We pray. Lord, open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to believe your word. Amen. Last week, Professor Sullivan was standing here and posing a question in the passage where the Lord talks about the straight and narrow way. He asked, what does the word straight mean? And then he looked around the group looking for someone who would provide him with an answer. About that time, I lifted my hand to adjust my glasses. And sure enough, Professor Sullivan, out of his peripheral vision, caught that hand movement and called on me. Now you'd think that after all of these years, I would know that when a teacher asks a question, you don't move. Particularly, you don't move your hand, and certainly not in an upward motion. I guess I haven't learned that. Students, at least some of them, typically do not want to raise their hands when the teacher asks a question. And there are various reasons that they have for this. The other kids will think I'm a nerd. They might make fun of me. I don't like the teacher. I don't like the course. I don't even like to go to school. So I'm not going to raise my hand. I have a hard time expressing myself. I make it a policy never to volunteer for anything. And this is probably the most common reason, I might be wrong. Sometimes, even if you're sure you're right, there is still in your mind this little possibility that you might be wrong, and you don't want to be wrong publicly. So the solution is, don't raise your hand. I wonder if the same holds true outside of the classroom. When a pastor asks a question in Bible class, keep your hands down. When a boss asks for a volunteer, when a father questions his children. So is it your general policy not to volunteer an answer or not really to volunteer for anything? Isaiah 6, verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. The question was asked, volunteer was sought, and would somebody raise his hand? Isaiah did. However, there have been times when the Lord has asked and nobody raised his hand. At the burning bush, the Lord asked Moses to go to Egypt and deliver his people. And Moses' answer was basically this, don't send me. He proceeded then to make all kinds of excuses to try to convince the Lord that he was not the right person for the job. When the prophet Jonah was told by the Lord to go to Nineveh, Jonah went in the opposite direction, got on a ship and headed away from the task. God had to make Jonah into fish vomit before he agreed to go. Have you tried to make excuses that you're not the right person for the job? Have you tried to run the other way when the Lord has come looking for a volunteer? But you may ask, when has the Lord ever come to me looking for a volunteer? Well, God comes to us in many different ways. Perhaps it's through a pastor who's asking for volunteers to do various tasks related to the church. Perhaps it's through an ILC faculty or staff member who asks for volunteers to do this or that thing for the school. Perhaps your parents are looking for a volunteer to do something for the home. Or perhaps the Lord simply throws in front of you an opportunity to do something. An opportunity to help somebody who is in physical or spiritual need. The Lord has many different ways to come to you and ask the question, whom shall I send? Or who will go for us? Send where? Do what? Whom shall I send to be a pastor? Whom shall I send to be a teacher? Who will go to India or Africa as a missionary? Whom shall I send to take care of that elderly woman who's having trouble just getting up in the morning? Who will go to visit people in the nursing home? Whom shall I send to be a dormitory supervisor? Who will go and shovel that sidewalk at ILC? Whom shall I send to help that student who is obviously very unhappy right now? And so it goes. The Bible is full of different things that we can do. Things that the Lord wants us to do. And as you read these things in the Bible, you should realize the Lord is asking you to do these things. He said, whom shall I send to do this? In the end, of course, all of these tasks serve God's ultimate purpose, the salvation of souls. It may seem a little difficult sometimes to figure out what shoveling a sidewalk has to do with salvation of souls, and I can't go into all that now, but that is God's ultimate purpose. So whenever these opportunities present themselves to you, listen. And maybe you'll hear the voice of God saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? At such times, will you raise your hand and say, here am I, send me? Or you keep your hands down and not even try to make eye contact? Now, I'm not talking about volunteering to do something that you simply are unable to do. I would not volunteer to fly a helicopter. That would be disastrous. But I'm talking about those times when you could say, I can do that. I have the ability. I have the time. Send me. So is that how will you respond? Consider the greatest volunteer effort ever undertaken. God's Son volunteered to give up the glories of heaven and come down to earth as a lowly man. He volunteered to give up earthly riches here on earth so that he could live a life of poverty. He volunteered to give up an existence in which he was above all law and live a life in which he was under both the laws of both God and man. He volunteered to endure the temptations of Satan, to suffer at the hands of men, to suffer the agony of crucifixion, the horrors of hell, and death. Each time that God called upon Jesus to do something, he said, here am I, send me. And the result of all of this, of course, is that Jesus has redeemed us from that a life of that's empty and meaningless and useless. We're saved from that life that leads to eternal torment. We're saved so that we can live a useful life here on earth, a life that's productive and has meaning, a life dedicated to the glory of God, and a life which ultimately ends in the glory of heaven. So now, are you ready to raise your hand when the Lord says, whom shall I send? We pray. Lord, here we are. Send us. Amen. And we'll sing verse 5 of hymn 150.